You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 17th of January, 2023. My name's Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and load more of your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, it's 3 points from the four on offer against the Panthers and more changes in the Belfast Giants locker room. We'll get to the game shortly. We'll hopefully be chatting with new signing Grant Cooper. He's traveling right now, but he said he'd pop in and join us for a chat if he has the time. We'll be looking at those changes in the locker room, one in particular. And we're also delighted to be joined this week by Gareth Martin. Gareth, of course, the first local lad to score for the Belfast Giants. Finally, we'll be looking ahead to the semi-final in the Cup against the Guildford Flames in the company of head coach Paul Dixon. And of course, we also have those games in Cardiff and Nottingham. Davey, how are you doing, mate?
Good evening. I just looking at you here, Patrick, you appear to be sitting in a T-shirt, like some sort of high roller with your heating on. You're the second person.
He must have got his voucher.
You're the second person I said. I'd seen Karen Mercer putting on Facebook today that she was just sitting in the house with the heat on. So I assume she got her £600 voucher because there's no way otherwise. Like at my house at a nice sort of 18 degrees, hence the hat, you know.
I mean,
who duvets on the kids' beds? It's all good.
I've never really felt the cold. Like, even like, you know, I'm lucky enough, as you know, to leave you guys in the lurch some years and go skiing. And even when I'm walking around there, I walk around there in a T-shirt. Yeah, but then there's also a big beer jack involved there as well. Mm. Yeah, often. Joel, you escaped from the Oval.
Yeah, I did. I had a really nice afternoon out in East Belfast on Saturday, but that's for a different podcast, I'm sure. Probably not great to talk about here.
And those watching live might be astounded to see you here because, of course, right now, at this moment in time, Larner are in the County Antrim Shield. So how are you here? This is definitely Tuesday.
Coming to you live.
They're actually 3-1 down right now.
This isn't Monday. This isn't being pre-recorded Monday. This is Tuesday, and you're here.
I'm coming to you live from the bowels of Seaview right now. I've brought my own stuff just to feel a bit more at home. But you know that I can't let the boys down, and I've had to fulfil my weekly obligation.
Yes, definitely Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look, lads, at the games that took place at the weekend against the Nottingham Panthers. It was a rare doubleheader that we've had this season. As we said earlier, we had the doubleheader against the Manchester Storm, we said last week, and the Nottingham Panthers came in for two games. Let's have a look at the first one. The first one took place on Friday evening, if I can get the statistics open. It was a 5-2 win for the Belfast Giants. The goals coming from Sean Norris, scoring the 600th goal. Great stat, Davey, against the Nottingham Panthers, and his first goal for the Belfast Giants. Gabe Bast, Ben Lake, Lewis Hook, and Stan Rupp were the other goal scorers for the Giants. There were two back from the Nottingham Panthers, Ritchie and Kelso. In goal, Jackson Whistle, 27 shots on, 2 goals against. On the other side, Alex Debo, 38 shots on, 5 against. He was pulled from the game in the first period. We'll come to that in a second. And Matthew Bleuer came in, faced three shots, no goals against in the 4 minutes he was there before Debo went back in for the second, third, and subsequently the next day. Referees, Andrew Dalton and Stephen Matthews. Davey, the Belfast Giants did all their business in the first period.
Yeah, it's been common in that we've gone through a sort of period, was it about 10 wins on the bounce, something like that, where we didn't necessarily start well in games and we had to claw ourselves back from positions, which I think both, you know, all the coaching staff were interviewed, George Iwata, Adam Keefe, Rob Stewart, when he comes out and talks, you know, all said that we needed to start games better and, you know, it was unsustainable to keep going like this. And yeah, we did. We came out. It was a funny period for Deboe. Deboe had 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 105 plus minutes of absolute, you know, he stole a lot of goals back for the Nottingham Panthers there. But it was good for the Giants to jump out to that start and, you know, engage the barn in a big doubleheader weekend when you've got, again, two more sellouts, bringing, again, to have so many. There's the first goal from young Sean Norris. Actually, Steve Orrie took a bit of a knock the shift before. Norris shouldn't even be out there. Orrie's gone to bench. Norris has jumped on into that situation. And, you know, Gilbert, and I think Norris might even have won. I can't remember now that if Norris won the face-off or started, won the winger play and just went to the net. What he's being paid to do, what he's being told to do there, win face-offs, get to the net, and there's the second one from Gabe Bass, just a little lob in over to Bo, and Bo's head had kind of gone at that stage because he's let a couple of five-hole ones in, he's ones that he'll definitely want back, but we were rampant that first period with all five guys on the ice doing what they're supposed to be doing, forechecking, backchecking, going two ways up and down the ice, and we were coming up with great chances and tucking them away. Second period, same story. Except the Bo came back out with a bit more of a point to prove, and he done really well. I think we outshot them something like 22-2 in the second period. Like, we really had tilted the ice. It could have been a disaster for the Panthers. It could have been a double figures game. It should have maybe been. And then game managed it through the third and final period. Just save legs, kept rolling the lines, and that came away with a much deserved. Maybe should have been a more lopsided Stoke scoreline, but a very deserved win.
I think, you know what, as that first period went on, I started to think this could be double figures, the way the Giants were playing, the way that Nottingham Panthers were defending. I thought, Joel, this was going to be a cricket score.
Yeah, I think Davey's right, though, in that, you know, the damage done in the first period means that the Belfast Giants can obviously then turn their attention to managing the clock and seeing themselves out for obviously having the same team in the same building the next night. But the quality on display from the Giants throughout that first period, it very easily could have been one of those games where you were pushing 8, pushing 9 in the third period, wondering, oh my goodness, is it 2010 all over again? Are we playing the Edinburgh Capitals? Alex Deboe, apart from that one period, and it happens to the very best of them, you know, the head goes, apart from that, he was stellar all weekend long, as good as a goaltending performance through 5 of 6 periods, as you'll see in the EIHL. Two things that I had never, I can't remember seeing anyway in this game. You know, it was fairly formulaic after that first period, which was, you know, it was electric, absolutely lights out, as Davey says, in front of a big crowd. But having Deboe then come back in, I'd love to have heard that conversation in the room, whether it was him saying, look, put me back in. You obviously have a two-way 18-year-old English keeper who you've kind of thrown into the deep end there in a big game. And he was under the cosh right from the very minute that he was in between the pipes. And I think he got lucky not to be scored on straight away. I'd love to know if it was Corey Nielsen saying, right, come on, get back in there, see what you can do. Or if it was Deboe himself saying, let me have a chance. Never really see that. And then also, I love this, by the way, with about 10 minutes left in the game, pulling Deboe to the bench for the extra skater during the power play and having that 6-on-4 with kind of 10 minutes to go. Spicy coaching. I liked it. It obviously didn't work. But yeah, like the conversation will rightly be about the first period, the conversation throughout the weekend. And I know Simon and his co-commentators on Giants TV spoke very highly of Deboe, and very rightly so. They recognized that they were seeing an excellent tendy there, 3-5 out of 6. But I thought that Jackson Whistle, whenever he was called upon, one of those tricky games where you're not seeing a lot of the puck, you're not doing an awful lot through two periods of game management. But that early in the third period, there was an absolute rocket one-timer come at him, and he managed to get posted post to post to glove one down on his left-hand side. And again, in terms of a moment of brilliance, whenever you've probably called and not really in the rhythm of the game because you're not being called upon, that was as good a goaltending as I've seen as well. But yeah, look, Sean Norris, story of the game for me. No less than he deserves. He's been phenomenal all season long, predominantly on the road, not really getting the reward of playing in front of that big home crowd. He really deserved that goal. He went to the net, did all the right things, and he did the greasy work like he's been doing all year round, and he was rewarded with his first goal. I think there's an EIHL contract coming Sean Norris's way, either this season or next, and I think he deserves it. Really, really good to see.
I'm going to throw it back to you as well, David, because you have mentioned it there and the goal he scored as well. But it's something we spoke about, I think, before Christmas, and something I mentioned on Twitter myself there, is that what you like to see from Sean Norris is here's a guy at Milton Keynes who's been given an opportunity to come into the Belfast Giants locker room and be part of the Giants setup, and he's taken it with both hands.
He's done okay in the limited ice time he's got. I'm just looking here, 15 shifts, 10 minutes of ice time on Friday night. He started the game with Mark Garside and then started rotating forward probably and ended up when Steve Ory got slightly hurt for a bit, jumping up on that third line and didn't look out of place. He just has to keep doing. We talk about progression and stuff and what NIHL players coming in, especially young guys who have, even when you look at guys like Kieran Long who came in as a top six guy from another team scoring 30 goals, you still have to earn, your way up the lineup. I don't think Sean Norris scoring a goal puts him we've got to get him in the top six here. He's got to just accept a role in a one of the top four, EIHL teams. Get in third line for me. Third line is about not getting scored on. And if you can chip in with points, great. We talk about secondary scoring and we talk about tertiary scoring and stuff. But the role of the third and fourth line is not to get scored on. That's their role. And if they can contribute in the red zone, brilliant. But, for what they've done, he came on to an offensive zone face-off. Possession's 9/10 of the law. They won the face-off. David Gilbert's been pretty hot in the face-off circle this season. Really good, strong numbers. And then once you've got possession, what can you do with it? And can you get it on net? And if you can get it on net, can you get somebody spoiling around the blue paint, looking for tips, looking for rebounds, looking for mucky goals? And that's what you want your third line to come up with. And he pressed to the dead. So Sean Norris has got a lot of years in front of him. And would I love to see him in a Belfast jersey next season? Certainly. And just continue that development and growth that he's, that sort of tangent that he's on, or trajectory, sorry, the better term.
Nice.
Of course, he went back to Milton Keynes on Saturday for that game, back to his home club. But, to come in on a Friday, do that, and then go back, phenomenal. Well done to him. There's more to take this
week. That in itself must be difficult, jumping up for a different role, probably a lot more ice time with Milton Keynes, a lot more dependent to be that guy. We were depending on you to score, and Belfast were depending on you not to be scored on. It's a dynamic that he has to get used to on different nights, doing different things. But fair play to him, more power to his elbow that he can do that.
Absolutely. Let's hear what the coaches had to say after the game on Friday.
That was our main focus tonight. It was to come out strong. Obviously, we knew we were going to have a good crowd and everything. But just after that 10-game stretch, we won games, but not the right way. And we wanted to come out on the right foot starting this next stretch of games.
How difficult is it when you're 5-1 up at the end of the first period to keep that momentum going, especially when it's the first game of a doubleheader, not to allow them to get any positives at all?
Yeah, everyone was pulling the rope, I think, from that first period, and they just carried it over. We asked them to do it, and they did it. We had a little sluggish start to that second, but not too much, because I think we had put enough control of the game. We had top to bottom, all four lines were pulling, and our D were good and shutting them down. And once we clawed back in that first part of that second period, I think we got back into our game and finished it out.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, in the first period, they didn't come to play as a group. Goaltender wasn't good. We didn't make good decisions with the puck. I was quite embarrassed. I thought the response in the second and third was good. Everybody upped their levels a lot, but I guess a team like Belfast, you're never going to catch them. So, very frustrating night. But again, credit to a quality hockey team.
The highlights from the game on Friday are, of course, available from our friends at Belfast Giants TV. We'll move on to the game on Saturday. Same opponent, slightly different result. The Northern Panthers ran out victorious 4-3 in front of 6,459 people. Remarkable, remarkable from the organisation. To have such high crowds over the last while is just brilliant, and it's credit to them. But it was a 6-4 shootout win for the Nottingham Panthers. Goals from Long, Conway and Bass to the Belfast Giants, and goals from Brady, Brady with a second, and the shootout winner is given to Craig Puffer. In nets, Tyler Beskarwani making his third debut for the Belfast Giants. 24 shots against, 3 goals against. Alex Debeau, 44 shots, 3 goals against, but also the shootout win. Daltz and Stephen Matthews once again were your referees. Jolie, this was more of a battle, but the Giants had more than enough chances in the first period.
Yeah, I think everybody sort of was sitting back, rubbing their hands together, thinking, oh, here we go again. In the second minute, whenever that kind of goal, Kieran Long and Steve Irie have a 2-on-1. Longer, I think, tries to play it across to Irie, and it comes back off a defenseman's skate. Just one of those unlucky plays on the part of the D-man. Longer just has the yawning cage to fire into there. But it certainly wasn't after that goal. The deluge didn't arrive again the same way that it did the night before. I think Nottingham came out to prove a point. Alex Debeau certainly came out to prove a point. I think their physicality was noticeably ramped up on the night before. That was really shown during the first period. And it was really a phase of dominance in the second period that I think that won the game for us. Certainly, as usual, Scott Conway making the difference, tying it up. We're working that over the line and just over before the half hour mark, and then Gabe Bass with another long range one timer, which I think was Ericsson's first point in Teal, which was good to see. This game had a little bit of everything. I love seeing a game like this. I really love those two game sets, those double headers against the same team. They used to be so much more common with the Giants. It was almost like every other weekend you had that kind of two game series. And you know yourself from watching, you know, the NHL and North America when they have proper playoff series, that you get a real narrative throughout these games. There's individual grudges that need settled. There's moments that players want back. There's things like Alex Debeau having that stinker in the first period and then being lights out the rest of the weekend. I absolutely love these kinds of games. There's just a little bit more of an edge to them. Panthers were certainly worthy of getting to the end of regulation with a tied game. There wasn't really much in terms of overtime. I think the Giants maybe had a couple of chances on the breakaway where they could have buried that game, did everything but score. And then unfortunately for us, just the shootout, things didn't come together. It just didn't feel like we were going to bag anything. Probably 3 out of 4 was a fair result on the weekend. And with the Panthers' improved performance on the second day, I'm probably happy enough to get out of that with the point.
If you're watching on YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter, you've just seen that celebration from Scott Conway in front of the Northern Panthers fans. I'm here for that sort of stuff.
Love that.
Blair Riley doing it in front of the Steelers fans. I'm here for all that sort of thing. Davey, you know, we've said a couple of times, but Debeau really was on form, spurred on from his performance in the first period, probably, and of course, you know, the shouts from Boomerang Corner.
Yeah, for me, if anything, this was a better performance by the Belfast Giants on Saturday night, certainly a whole game performance, than Friday night. Of course, Friday night we didn't have to play for the full 60, granted. In terms of good goal scoring chance, grade A chances, like easily out 2-1 Belfast Giants. Lots of really high quality saves from Debeau. Lots of borderline, there's a little wasteful finishing, I think, as well. And the boys will probably have reflected on that already. This is a game the Belfast Giants should have won 5+. Probably a more convincing 5-2 performance on Saturday night than Friday night, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And unfortunately, when it goes down to penalty shots, a bit of a lottery. We haven't had that many this season. I think that's perhaps only the second, maybe third penalty shootout over the season. So I'm sure it's something that's practiced virtually daily, even for banter at the end of training. So there'll be people that there's the final shot in the shootout. Unfortunately, we came up just short, 3 points out of 4. probably should have been 4 out of 4, and it'll be a game that we'll probably look back on over the coming months, hopefully not with anything other than, oh, well, we should have won there. But, you know, I think the Belfast Giants best goal. Take a lot of positives. Came back in. I think we played a full game. I think Besko, not a lot he could have done with the first. The second one, he gets kind of frozen on a bit of an odd man rush. And the third one's just a blind and tip in front. I don't think there's two goaltenders in the net. Probably don't see it, but it's a really, really high-quality finish. So in terms of Besko's return, absolutely fine performance. I think the story of the game is just the number of chances we had, and we'll let Debo get himself really well set. And he came out, obviously, with a bit of a point to prove on Saturday night, and I think he's proven. You heard the comments from the coach there. It's Corey Nielsen when he says, you know, goaltending was poor on Friday night, certainly through the first 20 minutes, cost them the game, and ultimately on the Saturday night, won them the game.
Could I come back to you, Joel, a comment you made, and I'll get your take on it as well, Davey. He's Scott Conway, a goal and assist on Saturday, three assists, was it, on Friday? You know, no goals with three assists. The guy is, regards to the points, Joel, he is putting them up left, right and centre.
It's I think the extraordinary thing about Scott Conway is that we have the privilege of seeing him for a second season in Belfast. We're certainly not, it's not new for us to have these players that come to the league and absolutely light it up. What is new is that Scott Conway seems to genuinely love wearing the teal of Belfast, and you can see the passion that he plays the game with. I absolutely, as you say, Paddy, I absolutely love the hosiery that he displays, the fact that he loves a celly. The thing is, though, guys like this usually are gone. They come here for maybe the first half of a season and they're snapped up into Europe by Christmas, or they certainly don't come in for the second season. So it's a privilege of ours to enjoy watching Scott Conway in his absolute prime. I genuinely think that I would struggle to certainly name you a better player in the league actively right now. I would struggle to name you a better player in the league over the past number of seasons. He just has, I don't know what it is, whether it's vision, whether it's just supreme natural ability, whether it's just the attitude and the confidence, that he oozes confidence when he plays the game. I'm honestly not sure. And I would be a much more successful person if I could put my finger on that kind of dedication and commitment. But I think it's a privilege that we have Scott Conway. I'd love to keep him for another year, but it genuinely surprises me that he isn't in the Dell or playing in Sweden or playing a straight elsewhere.
Davey, Scott Conway?
Joel has said there he would struggle to name a better player in the league, and he's absolutely right. There isn't one. He's the current league MVP. Scott Conway has what a lot of really top-end gifted players have. In many, many sports, he has he's the ability to almost slow time down and see things at a different pace. And he plays the game with his head up constantly. You look at the goal we scored in Dundee last week where he comes down and he does it time and time again. It's exactly virtually the same play where he sets up, I think it's Laker on the power play. He comes down the left wing, his head's up the whole time. He never has to look down once, and he slows everything down. Coops takes a couple of D-men into the near post at the bow, and it opens the whole right-hand side up for Lake coming in off the bench. Scott Conway does that time and time again. He just, as I say, Joel, I just think he can slow things down so well.
It's vision, right?
Vision's a good weapon. He sees things at a different speed than other people, and it actually looks like he's got so much more time. I remember talking about Brian Robson from years ago playing. He was playing for Middlesbrough towards the end of his career. I was at Urson Park, and he was playing against Derby County, and he just looked like he had acres of space around him. He always was in space, so he had that ability to get himself into space. But then when you get yourself into space, to have the ability to do something in that time that you've created for yourself, Scott Conway is the MVP in this league by a long distance. What did I say? Something 70 something points in around 30 odd games already this season. So he's been exceptional.
Let's get the opinions after the game from the coaches.
Yeah, this is one of them. I liked our game tonight. I thought we were good. You know, we've been struggling to string 60 minutes together, especially back-to-back nights. I thought for the most part we got that tonight. We certainly had our chances to end that game or extend our lead. It didn't go in for us, and sometimes that's the way she goes. So there's a lot of positives to take out tonight in terms of, you know, the back-to-back effort here at home. And that's a good hockey team over there, you know, and I thought we controlled the majority of that game, and we just didn't extend our lead, or we didn't get one to go ahead there. And then we had plenty of opportunities in overtime to seal the deal as well.
I thought we were pretty good. The first period was 15-5 in shots, but I know we missed the net about 100 times. So I thought we played, our intensity levels were much higher. We played a lot faster. We competed a little more. And then towards the end, got a little aggressive sometimes, and Belfast could have killed it off with some breakaways and two-on-ones, but thankfully Dubois stood on his head.
Highlights from that game are available from Giants TV, and big thanks to coming together of all the interviews and stuff, Davey, as always. No problem. Really appreciate it. Right, it can't have gone beyond your notice that yesterday, it's definitely Tuesday today, that the Belfast Giants put a new name on their roster, a man who's, I say, no stranger to Belfast. He has made a trip over before as part of Clarkson for the Friendship Four. Delighted to welcome back to Belfast, Grant Cooper. How are you doing?
Hey guys, good. How are you?
Doing well. We appreciate you joining us. We know it's been a long day. First of all, how's the opportunity come? You've come into Belfast, back into Belfast.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we had conversations a couple weeks ago here. I kind of gave my notice into Leeds coaching staff and organization. Played throughout the Christmas break, kind of wanted to prove that I could make this jump, and it was the right decision. So, I mean, it all worked out in the end.
You have been playing for the Leeds Knights in the NIHL, and you've scored 35 goals and 35 points, 70 out of 30 games. It's that must have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really understand what I was getting myself into coming across here, coming from the East Coast. I mean, I kind of just got my feet wet at the start, and they're a young team there in Leeds. And with Ryan Aldridge behind the bench, he kind of let me have free reins of kind of, you can make mistakes as long as you kind of put the puck in the back of the net here and there.
Grant, Davey, welcome to Belfast, first and foremost. Very, very pleased to have you in our city. It's always lovely to welcome a new guy to town. We obviously, Paddy touched on very briefly there, obviously played in the Friendship for a couple of years, or 2017, 5 years ago now, my goodness. But as that tournament, that has given the Elite League so many players over the last lot of years. And someone tweeted earlier on after you signed, if you have any doubt of the Friendship Four's impact on the Elite League, a quick check tells us Clarkson's fourth goal in the 2017 final, scored by yourself, assisted by Marty Quince, who's playing for Coventry, and Kelly Summers, who's playing in Nottingham. This league has started to pick up a lot of NCAA players.
Yeah, I mean, coming over here, you're kind of just starting school. It was my first year there, and getting a chance to come over to Belfast for a week. It's always a great experience to come across and kind of get a new sense of life or sense of hockey over here, especially on the bigger ice surface. And I mean, guys kind of fall in love with it. Like, you're here a week, you play two games, you get all these attractions, and you kind of see what kind of setups teams have over here. And I kind of fell in love with it right away. And it was always a goal of mine after to kind of pursue a career overseas.
Grant, as Davey says, welcome to Belfast, and thank you very much for taking the time to come on. And probably it's kind of like being back in the coast or being back in North America, where you get a call and just have to lift your life and go. I'm sure your head's kind of spinning right now, but I hope you get some time to get settled in and whatever else. Davey sort of mentioned it there. You've got your former Clarkson alum and Kelly Summers and Marley Quince both playing in the league right now. Whenever you arrived over in Leeds at the start of the season and started absolutely lighting it up, I mean, those are ridiculous points. Were you in touch with those guys? Were you sort of looking at them going, there's no reason why I can't be doing it at the Elite League level?
Yeah, we always keep in touch. I mean, any team you play on, you kind of build friendships, and it's kind of a brotherhood. So, I mean, we always stay in touch even through the years after they graduated, because they were a couple classes ahead of me. But once I saw them over here and I was in Leeds, I kind of followed them, watched what they were doing. And obviously with the start I had, I kind of put in my mind that I could try and make the jump at some point. And speaking with them, they said I could definitely play in this league, and I hope to make an impact here with Belfast.
And the Friendship Four is cherished here. I think, you know, people who are hockey fans in this part of the world kind of can't believe their luck that we get NCAA D1 hockey on our shore. The only regular season games played outside of North America. How much as a it was your junior year, right? You came here in your first year at Clarkson. How much did that shape your college experience? Obviously, Clarkson were champions that year. You moved on to get an ECAC championship in 18-19. Do you look back on that as kind of a formative moment? Was it big for you in terms of your story as a hockey player so far?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's always nice to come over here. I mean, you always play teams in the country in the United States, so it's obviously nice to hop on a plane and get to another country to play a couple games. But I mean, I think it just kind of builds a team a little stronger, a little more bond towards the team. As you go away for a week, you have a sightseeing. We did the Titanic, the Causeway. And so you kind of get a sense of like a little more sightseeing, a little more fun. It's not just all about hockey, kind of a little bigger bond with everyone. But I mean, you kind of get a different sense of life. And it's always nice to tour around the world. And I mean, to come play hockey overseas is nothing short of that.
And just lastly from me, sorry, it's a fascinating story to kind of have you jumping in here midway through the season. I could be wrong here, but from looking at your sort of career to date, it seems like it's the first time where you've jumped in and joined the team mid-season. How do you feel about that? Is there any sort of additional, not anxiety, but are there additional things on your mind in terms of coming into a locker room of guys who have been together for a number of months? Do you have sort of goals of what you want to do while you're here? And would you consider kind of keeping it on and kind of making Belfast home for a while?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's my first time kind of packing up and leaving midway through. So that was kind of a change when we got the calls and kind of hurrying and packing everything up. But no, I mean, I'm just going to be who I am. I'd like to think of myself as a two-way forward. So I'm not going to change anything here. It's the guys have been here. They know. Some of them already reached out and kind of getting acclimated with some of them. So I'm not here to switch anything or try and reverse anything. It's kind of just play my game and wherever I slot in that to help the team win. I know Adam's been just talking with me to kind of play my game and see how I fit in. And hopefully I can get a run at this and hopefully start sooner rather than later.
How were things left with Leeds? Obviously, you know, Ryan Aldridge and Steve Thornton had they know each other well from their days in the Basingstoke Bison and what went on with them. But when you approached Leeds to say you wanted to make that step up, was it well received?
Oh yeah, they were great about it. I mean, once I gave the notice that I kind of had some options to potentially move up in the Elite League, they were nothing but thankful for my time there, or grateful that they had a part of me as a stepping stone to kind of show that even if you do end up in the NIHL to start the year as an import, it might be able to attract some down the road, or even this year they kind of had an import replace me quickly. So that's always a good thing for that league anyway, to say like it's not the end of the road there. You always have even midway through or play a year there and kind of get the jump in the later years. So it was nothing but good between us.
But Grant, it's you're not going to have time to let the grass grow under your feet in Belfast. It's going to be hopping on a bus here. We've got Guildford Wednesday tomorrow by the magic of TV. Guildford Wednesday, Cardiff Friday, and obviously trip to Nottingham Saturday. So it'll be a little bit of a nice bonding trip for you as well. Get to know the boys here over the next 5 days.
Yeah, that was kind of the plan, to try and get me over as soon as possible so I can travel with the guys, kind of get to know. I'll get a skate with them tomorrow to kind of get my feet wet over here, and we'll see what happens on Wednesday if I can get in the lineup or not. But hopefully I am to get the ball rolling.
And you excited to go on? Have you set yourself any like mini targets for yourself, or is this all team first here?
Team first. I mean, I'm not coming in and putting all me. It's a team that everyone knows. Belfast Giants can make a run at the top of the table for trophies and cups. And so, I mean, fans are a big part of this, and I'm just going to come in here and work with the guys as the best I can.
And I believe your new housemate has, he got both, and he didn't just get goal of the week last week. He got both goals of the week. He got awarded with two goals a week. Has he told you about them yet?
No, not yet.
Right off the handshake. Did you see my goals last week? Or
no, nothing yet.
That's me. Just like, again, Grant, from me, welcome to Belfast. Very excited to see you getting going here, and all the best with it.
I think that
comes from us all, Grant. Listen, we really appreciate it. Obviously, it's been a very, very busy day for you. We really appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us for a chat. Good luck this week with the first few games and the travel, and I will catch up with you soon. Thanks, mate.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, buddy.
All the best. Good luck.
Fantastic from Grant Cooper there. You can't underestimate that. Like, today has been Tuesday has been a travel day for him, and I think he only got into the apartment about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's why.
He was kind enough to basically sit down in front of a laptop and come on and chat to us. So we big thanks to Grant Cooper.
We owe him beers.
Just a bit of chat between you gents about bringing in a player of his. I talked about the statistics there and having, you know, 35. Well, it is the NIHL. Let's just, and I don't want to be disparaging because obviously it's a limited import league. And people talk about, we've had people talk on Twitter about the likes of, you know, shall we have a cup competition that involves the NIHL teams? And you know, but the chasm the difference is it's a chasm between the two leagues. But the throw up, Joel, 70 points in the space of 30 games.
It's a surefire indicator that you're playing below your level. And I mean, like, you've already said it there, and that's enough. I can't remember, do you remember who it was that tweeted that, Davey? No?
Sorry.
About Marley Quince and Kelly Summers being on that.
I think it was like Noel Quespe.
But Noel, what a boy. Shout out to Noel for that. Like, I mean, you have to know when you're coming in there, the boys that you shared the room with throughout your NCAA career, that you won an NCAA title with, you're bound to know that you are more than capable of playing at a higher level whenever you're seeing your teammates kind of settling in and doing well and sticking in their jobs as well. You know, it's obviously a first move overseas for Marley Quince, for Kelly Summers, and of course for new Coops as well. So he's bound to be looking at them going, yeah, like, there's no reason why I can't. So it's probably a case of making a point, right? Like, you're out there just tearing it up, sort of glancing over your shoulder going, my turn yet, guys? I'm glad that he's got his opportunity, and I'm excited to see what he can do. I've said it time and time again on this show that my favorite type of player are those younger guys that have come out of college. He's obviously been to the coast for a little while post-graduation, and his time in Belfast was right at the start of his NCAA career. But I love the rawness and the hunger and the appetite of collegiate athletes that are turning pro and traveling overseas for the first time. Give me that over the older version of the EIHL and possibly even back into the old Super League days where it was the higher standard guys from maybe had NHL time or whatever else coming down the other side. And I know you're probably going to disagree with me. Don't care. It's that rawness.
So I was just saying, you just sound like a guy that used to be, I remember it clearly, Neil Russell saying, give me young and horny over, you know, over what? But these young guys coming in, you know, looking to start out on a career, putting their best foot forward.
There's just so much more fire in their belly, right? They're coming to prove a point. They're coming to maybe launch themselves into Europe or show that they can't do it at a level. There's just a wee edge to them that I don't think you used to get from guys that were coming over here to see the world before they hung the skates up. And that's no disrespect to some great giants that have come before. But it's my favorite mold of player. And I think that the NCAA tournament, which has become a vehicle for recruitment, has permeated the wider league. We've completely changed the league and the landscape of recruitment through having that tournament and putting collegiate athletes in the shop window here. And that's the Odyssey Trust and Mr. Fitzpatrick and all of the others that make it happen, to their credit.
You know, we've talked about the friendship for so many times about the benefits that it brought, the benefits it's brought for the Belfast Giants, the benefits now bringing for the league, the standard of hockey we get to watch, and then the players we get to bring in. Going back to Darcy Murphy, who put the points up in this league,
he was the first, right?
So, you know, yeah. And we know what it does, but to be able to pick up a guy like this mid-season, he obviously, you know, he said he's obviously went through, I want to play in the UK, let's play in Leeds, and not really. I don't know whether that's his agent saying, you know, you can play in this league or whatever, or what it was, but it probably came to him pretty quickly that, you know, I can do a little bit more than this. And thankfully, you know, there was talk amongst a lot of the ones at the NIHL for weeks ago. I think it was before Christmas, actually, when I was getting messages from a good friend, Anthony Russell, asking me, you know, what have you heard about Grant Cooper to Belfast Giants? At that point, I hadn't heard anything, you know, but it's now we see that he's come in. It'd be very interesting, Davey, to see how a player like that performs in the Elite League now that he is able to make that jump.
Yeah, look, he's, as he said, he keeps in touch with, like, the alumnus from, you know, his college days. He sees them, you know, doing things with Coventry, flew out of the traps at the start of the season. Not him having been great this season, to be fair, but you know, he sees guys he knows, doing well in this league, so he wants to he wants to have a go at it himself. And he's done a sort of, you know, whatever that is now, 4 months in the September, November, sorry, 4 months in the NIHL. He scored a lot of points, scored a lot of goals. So he's sort of, you know, he's shown, and he sort of alluded to there, Belfast wasn't the only offer on the table, clearly. I wouldn't have expected to have been. When I heard his name mentioned in December that he was leaving Leeds, I think I was out in Twitter or whatever in December time that he was going to be moving on. I didn't think he'd end up in Belfast. It's just with where we were as a roster at that time. Mm-hmm. Knowing what, you know, effectively everybody's tied a certain amount of money across the season. So I think we've done very well. There'd maybe be more roster changes to come if they've talked about it. So, you know, it's a really strong positive to put somebody like this into the roster, you know, with Derek Angeli leaving a week ago. And, you know, it's just a really, really good yes, it worked. you can see down below there, but it's a really, really strong upgrade for me. Proof of the pudding will be in the eating, to be honest.
Proof of the pudding will be in the eating.
Thanks, Joel.
I saw you sucking in there, don't worry about it.
That yes was due to the fact we've just been joined in the green room by our next guest. I fully agree. I think that, you know, a guy of his standard and what I've heard from his time at the Leeds Knights, obviously in the NIHL, but that he has the eye for goal, and you know, there may be you see that maybe a few players will be looking over their shoulder and looking at, you know, with regards to performance and seeing a guy like that coming in and will need to make that step up. It's only a positive coming into the final stretch of the league. Obviously, as has been the case over the last number of years and is the case this season, most of our games from here on in are at home. So, sorry, Dave, you go on.
No one that calls themselves a Belfast Giant fan can at all point a finger and say this organization hasn't given every tool that Adam Keefe has needed to go in mind. We talk about through August, September, October, November, December, not really looking at the league table, but knowing where we are roughly, but you start looking at the league table after January. In the hunt, a few points behind, need to rebuild, need to retool to make a few roster changes, made a change in nets. We haven't done anything really at the back end apart from bringing in Josh Roach as an offensive D-man, and we've made changes up front. So nobody can accuse this organization of not doing everything they can to win this championship.
Here. Right. And thank you for that. Absolutely. And let's move forward to the fan agenda brought to your friends at Belfast Giants TV. And here's a man who we've wanted to come on this show for a while. We've mentioned him quite a few times. It's been a while since he became the first ever local lad to score for the Belfast Giants, but what a goal that was back in 2003. Please welcome to the Bridge, Gareth Martin. How are you doing, mate?
Evening, boys. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you on, mate. Before we get into the good stories and stuff, you've been doing a bit of work on the TV, on the streams with Sizz, and it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been good. You actually feel like you're part of the game again, and you get the nerves. You try to do your best, and you leave the arena thinking, wow, I'm mentally drained as if I've just played the game. That's
true. Why is that? Just because, you know, you've got to put, you know, obviously you put in a bit of the research, you have to go on the part of the game, and Sizz is there doing the play-by-play, and like, you know, I've stood next to him as you stood next to him as Joel and Davey stood next to him. Doing a play-by-play must be exhausting, but it's a fun part of the game to be part of.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. What Sizz does is amazing. Obviously, I'm just always trying to remember at least 10 to 20 seconds, you know, of what's happening. So if there's a goal, if there's a hit, then I can go back and recap it. That's essentially what Sizz is kind of wanting me to do. So just always trying to have that vision, you know, vision even in your brain. It can be quite tough. There's times where Sizz would want me to come in and be like, oh no, yeah, I've totally blanked, but what just happened? 20
seconds ago. I was looking at Boomerang Corner, they were shouting.
It's not even that, Marty. It's the one Sizz has got a terrible habit of just like walking away and going,
Yeah, you take it from here, bud.
And the difference between doing, as you say, analysing the last 20 seconds of play and actually how he gets the names of the players and all. He got me to do it a couple of times for like 2 or 3 minutes at a time over the Christmas games. And it's a difficult task, let me tell you, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I watched what you, you know, I look back at the games that you've done. You've done very well. Yourself and Dicko. I think Dicko, no, you did. And Dicko on Saturday when I was watching, he did a bit when the chance were on the power play at the time. And says let him do it. And I thought, wow, you know, fair play. And I think I've got a bit to go before I can kind of do that. Because obviously, as you say, trying to know the names and numbers on the home team, on the Giants team, is quite tough. But even for Sis to do that on the away team, you know, it's immense what he can do.
Just before, sorry, Davey, I don't want to interrupt your question, but just you mentioned Andrew Dixon there and the fact that, you know, this weekend you were with Sis on Friday and Dicko was with Sis on Saturday. And I think from a Giants TV perspective and from what we have, I think it's absolutely fantastic that we have you know, yourself, Sis, and Dicko involved in the commentary and given, you know, three lads who steeped in hockey in Northern Ireland, three lads who have successfully performed in hockey in Northern Ireland, being able to give their take on Belfast Giants games in Belfast.
Yeah, it's nice that we can do it. It's nice to have local voices in there. You know, Simon has given myself the opportunity. You know, Graham has stepped in a couple of times, and Andrew. You know, obviously, I think Dicko is he's a natural at it now. I really enjoy listening to him.
Brilliant.
And even when Davey comes in, you know, it's just nice that it is the local feel to it. You know, we just it's nice to have that when we don't want players injured, obviously, but when the boys are injured, whatever they come up, they give their piece. It's nice to see their view on the game. But yeah, I think, well, I hope the fans enjoy the local accent, or they might cringe a little bit. I'm not too sure on that one.
I want to get into this with you, Marty. I'm so excited to have you on because, like, you're one of the guys that, from my formative days of watching the Giants, like I used to go to tell the story a million times, but
here we go again.
You used to go to the Ice Bowl on a Saturday night after, went to watch the Glens and then went to the Ice Bowl on a Saturday night. So I was aware of some of the guys before they became Belfast Giants, and then to go and watch them playing for my hometown team instead of the Castlereagh Knights or whoever that happened to be at the time. But like that first season, there had been Chris McGimsey, we were talking about him the other day, is just the anniversary of his first shutout. There was Mark, Graham, yourself, other young lads that came in because of the sort of the downfall of the ISL and the Elite League starting up, and Rob Stewart obviously bringing a lot of the younger guys in. How did it all come about for you? How did you get that first, there's a chance for you to be a Belfast Giant call?
Well, I knew with the Caps of Super League that there was going to be changes, there was going to be more British players needed, and then I was told that there could be a chance one or two of us may be selected to go, you know, to be with the Giants. And I knew my name was in the mix with the likes of Mo and Wally and a couple of others. And I remember training hard. It was about June time. I remember I was just driving up to the gym up in David Lloyd's, and Rob Stewart, I didn't know it was Rob Stewart, but I just got this random phone call, and it was Rob, and I was like, hey, Rob Stewart here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, how are you doing? He goes, yeah, I'm wanting to look at a couple of you guys. I was already training quite hard, obviously hoping for something like this to happen, and obviously it happened. And then he was just like, look, we're going to have a bit of a training camp in August, and can you make it? And I remember I was going on holiday. I was going away to Palmanova, and a group of us going, and I got home the day that camp, or the, I got home the day before the camp was started. So yeah, I certainly changed my plans on that trip. It wasn't the party that we were going to do.
Mixing in some waters.
It worked out well on the training camp, and then it just progressed from there.
Joel, before you go, I don't want this to become one-on-one between me and Marty, but this has been a long time me waiting for this kind of shit.
Nice, Timmy.
Obviously, Wally went on to make, and please don't take us the wrong way, Wally went on to make like nearly 700 appearances, Mo nearly 400. Why didn't it just not work out the same? It really just two seasons over. You had that first season, then it went away for a few years, came back and went away. It just never really stuck. What happened?
I don't know. You know, I kind of touched with this with Joel back at one of the games a couple of weeks ago. And I've had so many highs with the Giants, and then there's been a lot of lows as well, and them lows were just not being signed. My first season was with Rob, and then unfortunately Rob wasn't signed. He then moved on to Sheffield Steelers. And I was out in America. I was in Camp America, the kids' sports camp. And I was just in contact with Tony Hand. You know, we were emailing back and forth, etc. And he just says, you're going to come skate this summer. The boys are going to skate, I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays. I just explained my situation, said I'd be home mid-August and I'd be straight on the ice. So I did that. But when I arrived, there was a couple of guys there. I think, goodness, I can't remember. Was it Dermot Kelly? He kind of showed up. He showed up. I started training with the boys. I was then training right up to the day we were due to go to Sheffield. And then I thought I had all my stuff packed. And then Tony just pulled me and just says, look, we're just going to hang fire here for a bit. You know, you're not going to be on the flight tonight to the Sheffield. And then I came to training, and then I was just training about 2 or 3 weeks, and the boys were playing week in, week out. And then I just spoke to Tony and just says, look, you know what, are you signing me? What's going on here? There's been about 7 or 8 games going on. And he just said, look, yeah, you're not part of my plan. So I just had to just take it on the chin and just contact my old coach in Dumfries, and then go or Solway, the Solway Sharks, and then just head back to them. Then with my seconds, obviously I was always trying to knock on the door to get back into the team when Ed Courtney then was brought in. Yeah. He held a few tryouts. I contacted Ed and he says, yeah, come skate. So he gave Davey Moe, Mark Marson's brother, he picked the two of us. He says, look, I'll give you a weekend. And he just said, Marty, I'll give you a weekend. And then after the weekend, the weekend I played, it was against Sheffield Steelers. I remember I was in the starting lineup with Mo and Mark Leavers. I was like flipping my first game back, and I was full of confidence. It even put us in the power. I think it put us in the power play at the end because we were winning so well. And it's like, oh. So anyway, yeah, Ed phoned me the next day and just said, yeah, you know, I want to take you on board. And so that, yeah, the season is, you know, ups, highs and lows. I was playing, I wasn't playing, and you know, you're getting a regular shift, and then all of a sudden there could be a couple of weeks, you know, you weren't getting a shift, team wasn't maybe winning or performing the way they wanted. And then just at the end of the season, you know, it would have been them, you would have heard different boys being signed, and you know, you would see Mo getting signed, Graham getting signed, and then I would have been contacting Ed, saying, Ed, what's going on? And he would be like, oh, it's in my hands, it's in Todd's hands. And then I would contact Todd. I'd say, Todd, look, it's getting close. What's going on? And then he would be like, no, it's in Ed's hands. And then I was just like, oh. So then, yeah, just had to look down the route of going elsewhere. And then looking off the Dundalk Bulls were kind of being formed there. Mm-hmm. So I was able to then go and join them and do the whole Celtic League, and then do a bit of Irish League with obviously the influx at the time of the Celtic Tiger. You would have had a lot of Latvians and a lot of Polish players, so the standard was decent enough, you know, in that league. But yeah, as I say, some awesome times, but then, you know, a couple of personal, you felt pretty gutted. But yeah, you just got to try and pick yourself up and just enjoy. You know, I'm a hockey fan first and foremost, and you know, once you get playing with any team and you get that buzz back, you know, it keeps you positive, and that's the way I dealt with it as such.
It's probably not the right forum now. I could go on for hours with you about this, Marty, because obviously there's the individual highs and lows there, and you're talking about Davey Morrison, obviously, and you could probably feel quite empathetic for him because you were not so much. He's your mate, and he didn't get picked, and you get picked, or it was going to be vice versa. And you knew what it was like not to get that roster spot and really want it. And I guess I can still feel a bit of that sting from you, like however many 10, 15 years later. I know doing the Giants TV will never replace playing, but is it nice to be back in the SSE, back in the Odyssey, and back involved again to a certain extent, at least?
Yeah, I do. I truly do love it. Kind of once I was let go, that was it. The only contact I would have, well, obviously, you know, with Mo and Graham and Chris McGinnis, you know, I'm good friends with them, and like Sir Gareth Roberts, you know, I still would have stayed in contact with them, but I just would have contacted the likes of, you know, James Glover, who obviously I know through, you know, playing in line and things like that. I just would have said, look, try and get to one or two games a year, and he would have looked after me with tickets. And then obviously then when Simon then got more involved, and Simon and I go way back, I've knew Sid since I've been 7, 8 years old. So, you know, obviously he would have contacted me more to say about, you know, we're doing not a tribute night, but like a appreciation night for, say, TAF for you know. So I was getting a little more involved as things went on, and then I was once my son came along, he's 2.5 now, and I was more or less pestering Sis every Sunday game to bring him to get tickets for my son and my family and stuff. And
it has then to be an early face off. Has to be an early face off for the kids. Has to be
early on. And then it was for Sis then to then say, are you free to come do commentary with me? And I was like, wow, I don't know what I'm doing, but I don't, you know, obviously I know half the team at the minute, but yeah, I'll come in, and he just says, yeah, we'll just have a laugh. And then since we've done that, it's just progressed. So yeah, I do feel a little bit more involved again, and it's nice to see, you know, have a good chat with Steve Thornton. You know, it's nice to be kind of back on talking terms again with the guys.
I knew that was coming. Davey absolutely robbed my question there, but this was always going to be a Davey Marty chat, and that's what we all signed up for, because I could sit back and listen to yous go as well, pull up a couple of sandbags and listen to the old timers go, like, no, I don't mean that, Marty. I don't know if anybody's explained to you, but I'm really, really young compared to these two, so I wasn't really around whenever you were doing your thing with the Giants. It's been really lovely to meet you this season, and you're one of, not to pump your tires here on your first pod appearance, but you're one of those guys where you know when you meet somebody and 5 minutes later you're just spilling your guts to each other. You know, it's one of those very accessible, easy to talk to people, and some of those kind of brief chats we've had up in media, I got onto the subject of fatherhood. You were obviously talking about your young fella, and I'm sort of staring down the barrel of my first at the end of March, and the thing that sort of stuck with me was that, you know, if I was in your shoes, and far be it from me to ever try and put myself in someone who's played for the Giants shoes, but if I was you, I would see that, you know, being back now, doing what you do, as an opportunity to sort of open that world up to your kids. You know, you can sort of being back doing what you do, you can sort of show and be like, this is what daddy used to do, you know, like this used to be kind of this was my stomping ground. I played in front of thousands of people. Is it nice? Is it like an opportunity that way where you're able to show a side of your life that maybe you thought had kind of was over, was past, whatever else, and to be back, to be active, to have a role in the Giants org, and to sort of be able to show your boy that world now through your eyes?
We've lost Marty from the studio there, but listen, we'll come back to your question. One of the questions we'll ask him is about that first goal. But Marty is a phenomenal talent with regards to, we've seen what he's done for the Belfast Giants as a local lad, Joel. It's just, you know, come in and be the player that he was excellent.
It's special to me, like that kind of thing. Like I, even in my time, you know, obviously I talk about kind of only really becoming a big part of my life in like 2010, and even I remember guys like, you know, Robbie Brown, Jordan Scott Brown, even way back, the guys who played one or two games, and you know, obviously Gareth Roberts, and being able to see Mo come back for a bit, Graham Walton, you know, one of my first icons, and Dicko doing what he does. Those guys are special to you because you can see yourself in them, and it's something that Davey talks really well about, you know, people that we with the best will in the world, God knows I couldn't pull skates on and go and do what they do, so they're guys who if they weren't on the ice, they'd be in the stands. And there's something a bit more special about that than, you know, being able to see them. Even Adam Robinson, obviously, Rob, we got to pull the jersey on, and now Mac and Kel. And I know I'm missing some, but yeah, there's just an extra layer of special whenever it's guys that you know that if you weren't watching them out there doing their thing, wearing the jersey, you'd probably be in the bar having a pint with them, talking about the game. That's what makes seeing our local guys kind of just so special, I guess.
I think, Dave, you take a special thing from that as well, obviously, with Mo, with Marty, with Wally, you know, and some guy called Majemsey. Terrible surname.
It's just like, and you still get it to this day, okay, with really Dicko, you know, representing Northern Ireland, Max Stewart, obviously, coming in, Kel Beattie, these young guys, and obviously they're so much younger than me now, and you've got a certain sense of pride. You almost have a fatherly pride now at seeing these young lads coming in, but whenever... And you do make a good point, Joel, that you are good, but younger than us. Whenever these guys were coming in, they were peers. They were the same age as us, but yeah, they were playing for the Giants, and we were going to watch guys our age on Belfast, playing for Belfast. And it was like, you wanted Mo to score, you wanted Marty to score, you wanted Wally to come up with a big block, or, you know, Chris McGimsey getting a shutout. All these things that happened that made us so happy, because you could see, not that it would ever happen, you could see yourself in their skates. That was the thing about it. You know, you could see yourself being Mark Morrison. I wanted to be a Mo train. You know, that's just what I wanted. And of course, it was never going to happen. But, you know, they give us a lifetime of memories through that 10-year period or whatever it was. Won everything. When you go back and you look at Mo, he won the league, he won the playoffs, he won the crossover cup, you know, knockout cup, charity shield, you name it, you know, they won it in that period. Guy from Ballybean. You know what I mean? He was living the dream. Yeah. He was living the dream.
In pro hockey.
What we all wanted to do in pro hockey. Now, not getting a king's ransom for doing it either. All having to work during the day. You know, to make ends meet, to go on a Saturday night, and they came up the hard way. They came up with the long boat trips and the bus runs to Aberdeen and the bus runs to Elgin and the bus runs to, you know, here, there, and everywhere across the UK, just to play the sport. And then when they became pros, my goodness, what a story! Like, but you could do a podcast with Marty on his own, like a one on one, would be amazing.
Right, I think we got him back. Marty, you back with us?
Oh, love you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Lovely. Turn your phone sideways, mate. Just turn outside so we get a better. There we go. That's much better. Joel.
Yeah, look, Marty, it's a question I've been dying to ask you. And I've said to you a couple of times about coming on to the show because I wanted to kind of talk about that. It's really interesting to me. And like I said, we sort of had those kind of chats up in media and stuff. Not to repeat myself, but it must be special for you now to have an active role in the organization and to be able to kind of, you know, show the kid what sort of daddy used to do.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Obviously, when my son Sebastian was born, I wasn't doing any ice, hockey at all. I was just doing a bit of cycling, done a couple of triathlons, etc. And he would have came along, cheered me on. But obviously, he sees pictures around the house, and he sees a couple of my jerseys and things like that. And yeah, it's been nice to bring him to the games. It's now nice for him to kind of hear me and see me doing a wee bit of the commentary. Obviously, we look back at the YouTube highlights for my wife to criticize me or maybe help me. also, I'm back up skating again. I would skate with the guys on a Wednesday night, the SNL Giants. So I would skate with them. And then obviously, like, so Rob and Shane Johnson would come along and skate. So you see me skate up in the ice ball, yeah? So, I think with him coming along, it sparked me to kind of show him what I used to do. And it'd be nice if there was a testimonial coming up somewhere down the line and I could maybe skate in the arena again. That would be awesome. But it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy that what you know, having a child actually sparks you to do again and to reignite you. You hit that 100% right.
And would it be something that you would, I wouldn't say kind of push or whatever, but is there any interest in hockey from his perspective? Would you like to see him sort of strap the skates on and see what he can do and maybe have a future?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not, you know, he's going to go, we play football out the back, we go swimming, you know, well, we paddle about, mess about. We've got littler hockey table, we've got Flocky, the little floor hockey set. So yeah, we're doing all that. So we're just we're going through all the sports, and we'll see what he wants to do. We'll go up to the ice bowl for a little skate. I'll put him on the little got the little bears and penguins there. I'll put a pair of skates on, so he can actually walk in the skates, which is really surprised me.
It's more than I can do. So
I was going to say,
yeah, he's already halfway there.
hopefully in the next, say, 6 months, you'll be able to maybe stand on the ice and things like that. But I'm not going to push it. You know, it's all fun at the minute, and we'll just take it from there. Yeah,
Marty, let me read you something. Something from February 2004. The game is Belfast Giants 7, London Racers 1. I was just busting down the right wing and Kelman picked me out, so I got a puck in a lot of space. I saw the top left corner of the net open. I was confident enough to put the puck in that position, and luckily enough, it went in. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. The first goal scored by a local lad for the Belfast Giants is such a remarkable part of our history. Give us your memories of that.
I can just remember getting a regular shift in that game. It was a Sunday game, so we had travelled. I think we travelled that morning, so it was kind of weird because obviously we're always used to kind of, you know, home games. You didn't really travel, and something unique. And yeah, I got a regular shift on the third line. And I think that statement's wrong. It was Paxton that fed me the puck, but I think I was a bit excited after scoring the goal. I give Kelman down as the assist. But we were winning the game by lots. Yeah, and when I scored, I just realized, wow, this is. I had scored previously away twice, and then I knew that I was the first guy, then first local to score at home. And yeah, I just went crazy, and I can just remember Paxton kind of jumping, you know, a couple of guys coming into the boards. I think Mo was on with us at the time, and after I'd scored, Paxton was just like, "What are you doing? You got to do a lap of honor." And we're like stepping one up, you have one up. And he's like, who cares, just do it. And I remember like going around waving the fans, then come over to the bench, and all the guys like, well done. And then Curtis Bone goes, "How embarrassing, we're winning the game."
Don't you let him take that away from you.
I was like, oh, yeah, whatever.
But did somebody pick up the puck for you?
Paxton did, and I'm really hoping it's in my dad's garage, because I don't have it in my house, and yeah. I don't know what's happened. And it could have been a case of, you know, pucking the bottom of the hockey bag and then just misplacing it. But I'm sure if we dig deep in the garage, there's a lot of other old stuff in there, a lot of old sticks, jerseys, etc. So yeah, it should be in a more special place than that. But yeah, just, you know, obviously misplaced it, and then as time goes on, you kind of, you forget about it and such.
Sorry, do you have the jersey? That's an unbelievable photo, by the way. I've never seen that before, but those are big sellies. Those are big shoulder pads too. But do you have that jersey still?
I don't have that jersey. I have the away jersey of that season. I remember, obviously we used to have to give our jerseys, you know, for different charities and different things that run on within the organization. But I remember Sis saying to me, "Oh, I've got one of your jerseys." And I always kept on saying, "Where is it? Give me it. And he was like, "Yeah, you know, when we were traveling back and forth to Dundalk," because he was part of the coaching staff, he never gave me it. And then I think I pushed him a couple of years ago, say, "Sis, what about that jersey?" "Yeah, I just gave it to charity or something." The super <last name. laughs>
The other thing about that game, Marty, is that obviously you scored 7-7-1, but Chris McGimsey came in the goal as well at the end of that game. So to have that sort of additional aspect of local hockey in that game was brilliant.
It was nice. It was, you know, you're always praying for a bit of a lead to get more ice, to be more involved. And then, you know, Chris, there would have been games or maybe 10, 15 games he wouldn't have touched the ice. Colin Ryder was just, you know, game in, game out. I'm sure he was busted. So it was nice when we could get that cushion to bring Chris in and show that he was a good a good netminder, and Chris was a great guy. Still is a great guy. We still stay in contact every now and again. And yeah, you just want to play hockey with your buddies, don't you? And obviously, within the great organization that is the Belfast Giants, obviously to have the pros bring you along as well. It was fun times and very enjoyable times.
Marty will probably have a walk down memory lane again with 100%. Well, you don't have to say yes, but 100% we'll ask you back on the podcast again and take one of these walk down memory lane. But let's bring it back to 2023, Belfast Giants, where we are now. We're going on this road trip this week. First leg cup semi-final, two big games on the road. Cardiff coming off their Continental Cup runner-up spot, and Nottingham Panthers, who obviously we played twice last weekend. Giants are right in the hunt here.
Yeah, they are, and with all the new additions and the bit of shuffling going on, you know, obviously the team isn't fully settled yet. You know, we've seen flashes of brilliance, and then obviously we've seen a bit of teething problems as well. But with this only being, 6 points off Guildford, I mean, there's a lot of hockey still to be played, and the Ericsson looks great, and you know, I think once he gets far in there with Conway and Goodwin, I mean, yeah, 6 points, couple of games. Well, obviously, we've still got three more games against Guildford. You know, a lot can happen. And, you know, the Giants have been bold, haven't they, with some shrewd moves. And, you know, they believe it'll pay off. And I believe it will too.
We're probably going to go on after you move on here, Marty, to talk about Peyton Jones. Just your own thoughts from being inside that locker room dynamic when someone just all of a sudden is gone.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I listened to your podcast last week with Peyton Jones, and I was impressed with how positive he was with dealing with disappointment, you know, kind of getting over it, and then cheering the boys on, and then, yeah, I for him then, I've read different reports, and I believe he, you know, he's left off his own bat, and I can maybe understand because he maybe doesn't want to be part of a three-man, you know, rotation, or I don't know what the full ins and outs were, but you can maybe see his point of view, but at the same time, you know, look, it's a tough one. It's really, I'm getting mulled up here with words and what I'm saying, but yeah, for me, I would have liked to see them stay. I think they could have learned a lot. The two younger boys, obviously Peyton Jones, Whistle, and Dick, you know, Dicko, they could learn a lot off Besko. And I think there's bigger things to come with Besko. I think obviously he was assistant coach last year. You know, he's going to step in. Well, he is assistant coach again, isn't he? Or he's helping out the boys again in a certain capacity. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, so I think there's bigger things for him in future. So yeah, I wish Peyton had just stayed in and you know, stay with the team. But yeah, it's you know, goalies are different, aren't they? The players as well. It's hard to get into that world with what their mindset is at times. But yeah, it's a tricky one there.
Marty, listen, we've loved having you on, loved hearing the stories, and continue doing great things on Belfast Giants TV. I know, because obviously, like myself and my esteemed colleague, Mr. McGimsey here, you know, that's our connection back home to a lot of games. So hearing two local voices and two knowledgeable voices, such as yourself, Sis, and, you know, also Deco, is just wonderful. You're doing a great job there, and we're really delighted you were able to come on, and hopefully you'll come and join us again.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Yep. And I'll see you guys. Give me a shout when you're over and you get to hook up.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
Thank
Thanks
you,
very
Marty.
Much.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Gareth Martin for his time. That was absolutely fantastic. You know, a guy who's got such history with the Belfast Giants and what he achieved in his first stint there and the goals he scored. Just lovely to have him on and a good guy to boot. So, you know, thanks to Marty for coming on and joining us there. And no doubt we'll have him on again for another chat, and Davey can talk for another half hour with him.
Sorry. I enjoy that.
The saying never meet your heroes, and I did this with Mo. I was talking to Kate Morrison not so long ago, like, never meet your heroes. I'm so glad and so fortunate that we do this to get to meet people that years 100%. Ago were your hero, and they still are to this day. And whenever I get a chance to talk about the Belfast Giants of bygone day of yore, these are the guys whose names come up, along with the Jason Ruffs and stuff that they played with, and the Paxton Shuldy, and Marty and Mo and Wally and all. Whenever you get to talk to them, they never change. Never change, guys. It's just we're so very, very fortunate to do this.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, big thanks to Marty for coming on. As was mentioned there, we're going to move on to what was a bit of a major story in the last week. We did lose Derek Angeli from the locker room in the last week as well, and he has moved on to Pastures New as a sort of a, you know, some of the new faces that are coming in, and Angeli was one of the players to be cut. And then the other one was Peyton Jones, a player that we had on just last week as the View from the Bridge December Player of the Month. Got really good feedback with regards to how he was, you know, his attitude, and it was wonderful to see. But unfortunately, it was announced just the other day that he was departing the Belfast Giants. It has been suggested there from Gareth Martin was off his own bat. And he is today, yesterday he was announced as now part of the Nottingham Panthers setup. Business is business. You know, this, Joel, is a massive call, in my opinion, by the Belfast Giants.
It is. I sort of said just a couple of weeks ago on this very show that we are in a privileged position that the ownership of the Belfast Giants understands that the success of a team is driven by its success on the ice. You know, the business success of the team is driven by its success on the ice. And it sounds like such an easy lesson that everybody should kind of know. It sounds like sports 101, but there are a great many teams and a great many sports that don't seem to have learned that lesson. And they just think that the product is there and people will come regardless. The Giants have been brave enough, and maybe this year more than any other that I can remember, to sort of make the moves and to commit financially to making those moves. Because, I mean, we talk about it every week at the minute. Look at the numbers coming through the door right now. I think those people want to come and see the Belfast Giants win. They come for big games. They get up for it whenever it's a cup game, a cup semi, whatever else. That cup semi-final or quarterfinal second leg against the Panthers was the hottest ticket in town. Nobody could get near tickets for it. Look at the Christmas period whenever the Giants were turning things around. So it's not always going to be a happy ending. You know, in my perfect wee world as the eternal optimist, there's a place for everybody and everybody gets along and everything's perfect. Sport is a cutthroat business at every level around the world, and unfortunately decisions have to be made in the interests of the wider organization. Personally, I hope Peyton Jones goes on to have a stellar career. I think he's a great pro. I think he's a mature, really kind-hearted person. I think he's a wildly talented goaltender, and I hope that he goes on to have a successful long career. You don't have to list the sort of reasons why Tyler Bescarwani is worthy of a slot on the Belfast Giants for what he's done. You know, let's not have short-term memories here. Tyler Bescarwani was the rock that brought titles to this place. And as I think maybe you said it, David, a few weeks ago, if the best goaltender in the league is available and he's knocking the door, why wouldn't you take him? So listen, I'm not smart. I'm not on the inside of those conversations. I don't know what was said and whose intentions are what. I just think that you probably have to have a bit of faith in the people that are driving, that they know what they're doing, because put me in those shoes and I certainly wouldn't. So it's thanks and cheerio to Peyton. I hope he does really well and stays healthy and has a great career. But we certainly are not left short at the back.
Davey, I'm not going to say it's not a difficult situation for the organization. It absolutely is a difficult situation for the organization, because you've brought in Tyler Bescarwani, and we don't need to rehearse those reasons again. They are there, you know. And when a player is available of that standard, he comes in. But that does leave us with two important netminders who, you know, aren't going to get the start every night of the week. And you've got Jackson Whistle, who's also performing. So we've got three top level netminders, and then Dicko backing up as well. But it's like there's a battle there. Also, the Belfast Giants want to make changes. So there's a business element to this as well. Where I struggle with this from a personal point of view is that, you know, hearing Peyton Jones last week and seeing the statistics that he's had over the last month, he was December's Player of the Month for an absolute reason, for the numbers he's been putting up on the ways he's been playing. He was an informed goalie that has gone, a young informed goalie who could have been a Belfast Giants starting netminder for a number of seasons, but because of the way the business is set and that it has to go, then he's off. Personally, I don't like it. That's a personal point of view. I would have liked to have seen him stay, But as I said, business is business, and I don't always have to like it.
As Corey Nielsen very much
is that a question?
Is that a question?
I'm asking, I knew that was coming. As I finished that sentence, I knew the Corey Nielsen quote was going to come in. But you know, I'm just asking for your point of view on what took place and
my opinion on the Peyton Jones situation. Yes. If you had a Scott Conway suddenly came on the market, if you had a Pat Dwyer, for example, came on the market, or you had a Griffin Reinhardt or Calvin Elfring, somebody, you know, who had stepped down from playing, got away from the game, and a couple of months later said, you know what, I want to give it one more go. You look at upgrades. Tyler Bescoani is the best goaltender in the league. So as Joel said, if he's available, you go and get him. Personally, I'm not an Adam Keefe and I'm not a Steve Thornton. It's not my job to pick rosters. So we can play fantasy football here all we want, fantasy hockey. I personally would have liked to have seen Peyton Jones as a Belfast Giants goaltender for a number of seasons. And I think I talked last week about the opportunity, and I asked Besko and I asked Peyton Jones about working with each other and learning from each other. And do I think Tyler Bescoani could have taken Peyton Jones then even to another level? Yes, I do. Could I have seen Peyton Jones back? It all depends. This all rotates, or this all forms around what Tyler Bescoani is going to do. Yes, does he give a great chance of winning a championship over the next 3 months? Of course he does. Is Tyler Bescoani coming back in August and September? Who knows? Don't know what the circumstances are. Marty alluded to Tyler Bescoani stepping off the ice in the, you know, coaching roles. Is that in North America? Is there opportunities for him in Belfast? Whatever. Anyway, cut a long story short, I would have liked to have seen Peyton Jones. You go through this cycle of now, we probably are looking for another import goaltender in August. Mm-hmm. There's maybe plenty out there. Steve Thornton knows the market much better than we'll ever know the market. Sure. But I would have loved to have seen. I just thought I'd seen enough of Peyton Jones from mid-October on, say. He had a rough start. He had to come straight in, first time outside North America, young lad, straight in the CHL game against top-level opposition. Didn't start well for him. And then obviously had a bit of a slow start and a rocky start in the IHL Challenge Cup, where he was in and out and numbers weren't great and stuff. Took a little bit of time to settle down and find his feet in the role, which unfortunately in this league, as we talk about, and I may as well ding it every week, 2 points, blah, blah, blah. You don't get time to settle in this league. You have to come in and be that top, you know, that 92% guy from the start. And I would say fortunately, unfortunately, he came so good, and Jackson as a pairing, they've been outstanding. They've dovetailed lovely. Their numbers are really good, and they've brought us to the second week in January, just within touching distance of the top of the table. They play the Guildford Flames two or three times, play Sheffield Steelers two or three times. We're in the hunt, and those guys brought us this far. Now, to give one of your, you know, baseball analogies, you know, is Besko come? Is it the closure you call them? You know, is Besko nice. Going to be, is that what they call them? You know, is Besko going to be come in here and be the closer? Maybe, let's hope so. Touch wood. And you know what? I don't think there'd be anybody happier for the Belfast Giants and their fans and Peyton Jones. I get that impression from the guy. Now, I also don't wish him any success with the Nottingham Panthers. I wish him great success in his career. I can't ever see it happening now because of the circumstances. Would I love to see a Peyton Jones back in Belfast? Yeah, why not? It's just hard. It's the business. You've said it yourself, Paddy. It's sport. It's brutal sometimes. And one of the really great things, and we've just talked about making friends with like Marty and Mo and different guys in the locker room that you get a wee bit closer to because you become friendly with them. Peyton Jones is lovely. One of the nicest guys I've ever met around the locker room. And that becomes more difficult to cut the cord there, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Sports brutal. He's moved on. He moves on with just seeing the outpouring of respect for him on Twitter. He came across so well last week. I think he garnered a whole new range of fans from people that were on the fence about him. But, you know, he's gone, and you get behind the guys that are here and hope they backstop us to great success.
Here. As I said, he was it didn't take very long for Omar Pasha banned.
to
jump on the opportunity to bring in a netminder of that caliber into Nottingham Panthers. They've let go of Jack Berry, and he's now moved on, and he comes in. No, he comes sitting with Alex DeBoe. and that minor we've just spent, you know, 20-30 minutes talking about Lights, how well he played against Belfast, yeah, and how lights out he was. So there'll be a battle there, but you know, if anybody can sustain it, Nottingham can sustain in regards to,
like, from watching a good bit of Nottingham Panthers over the last few months, goaltending ain't their issue.
No, it definitely isn't.
Defense is, like,
defensively they're shocking, but that's listen,
defense better.
For the next three months at least, I don't wish Peyton Jones any luck whatsoever. Where the luck goes after that, you know, in his career, I hope he does well. But sad to see him depart from the Belfast Giants. But we move on. Jolie, we're running a bit late. Give us a few bits of news.
Yeah, we sure are. We'll just take a quick look around the league, boys. It's a long one tonight. This past week in the Viaplay Elite Ice Hockey League on Thursday, the Coventry Blaze travel to Brayhead, kicking the week off with a 5-3 win over the Glasgow Clan. On Friday, the Manchester Storm were beaten 6-3 at home against the Sheffield Steelers, and the Dundee Stars took it to the shootout against the Coventry Blaze in Scotland, winning 4-3. On Saturday, the Guildford Flames travelled to Yorkshire, defeating the Steelers 4-2 in front of an absolutely monstrous home crowd. Fair play there as well. It's a big old barn that they keep filling. And it was Derby Day in the Kingdom of Fife, where the Glasgow Clan took down the Flyers 5-4 with the help of a shootout. On Sunday, the Clan returned home to make it 4 points out of six on the week with a 5-2 win over the Stars, and that actually lifts them off the foot of the table. Who saw that coming at the start, whenever it was the biggest gong show I've ever seen in the league? It was a good day for the unders in Coventry, where a shootout decided a 0-0 draw for the Blaze against the Flyers, that 1-0, and the Guildford Flames kept it rolling with a 6-4 victory over the the Storm at the Spectrum on Sunday, leaving them 3 points clear at the top of the table. The only other bit of news, as we referenced earlier, can't even remember, did we? We've been here a long time. The Cardiff Devils went into the final day of the Continental Cup on Sunday, needing a regulation win over Slovak side HK Nitra in Angers, France, and did us all proud with a 3-2 defeat. You hate to see it. You just absolutely hate to see it. So the big tray is not coming back to Cardiff Bay. I'm sorry.
Really, really disappointed for them.
Yeah, but no, I had lots of pals out there who it looks like they had an unreal weekend. Continental Cup is a great experience if you get to go on the road. So hopefully everybody is currently hammering the sulfidines and eating Chineses.
Do you have friends that are Cardiff fans?
Oh, I have got friends everywhere, mate.
Weirdo.
He's got friends in low places. Yep, thanks for that, Julie. A 0-0 in Coventry. The only 0-0 I remember watching from a Giants perspective was one in Sheffield. It must have been about 6-7 years ago.
Talking
of 0-0s, and I don't have the stats in front of me, and my memory, because this is going back, the playoff final, 2002 semi-final.
Against
Sheffield as well.
I wasn't
decided on penalty shots. 2003.
It was a 0-0 decided on penalty shots.
That was a 0-0 as well, wasn't it? Yeah. You're right.
It was a 0-0. Kevin Riel with the winning goal.
Stats, mate.
Kevin Riel with the winning goal on penalty shots.
It could be wrong, but that 0-0, I think there was only one goal in the shootout as well, the goal that actually decided
Kevin
Riel's goal. And that was Ryan Back against Joel Lang, two of the best netminders in the league at that time, and they shut everybody out, and only one goal went in.
And then, talking of pulling up a sandbag, Joel, the very next day we won the lot with two Shane Johnson slap shots against the
Shane Johnson killed the London Knights. That was their last ever game. They never played again. Shane Johnson just won them in. That was the end of that. His former team as well. Oh, what a shame.
The old Johnny curse.
But yeah.
Anyway, that's you, Patrick Smith.
Right. But thanks for that, Joel. We're not done yet with this show. We got three games coming up in the next week. And the first one is the Flames against the Giants, Wednesday at 7:30 at the Spectrum. And you get that on Flames TV. And earlier on, Mr. McGimsey had a chat with the head coach of the Guildford Flames, Paul Dixon.
Coach, fair to say, if you were asked to draw up a season back in August and what it would look like in January, this wouldn't be too far from what you'd want.
Yeah, absolutely. as any summer, you go in, you recruit your team and you never really know how it's going to work. You can put all your pieces together and not until you get everybody on the ice and see what you've got. But, for us so far, more than happy with our season up to this point. I think the biggest thing is with the team so far is they've really bought in to obviously our system player and our structure and what we're doing. And I think that's been the biggest compliment I can certainly put towards our team is the buy-in. And I think, you know, every coach is after that buy-in, and I'll give our guys full credit to that. They've really bought into the team, the philosophy this year.
One of the things that we've read and we've talked about across the season, for Guildford Flames versus, if you like, the Sheffield Steelers, the Belfast Giants, Cardiff Devils, the traditional guys that would be up around the top of the league is depth. And you've been fairly lucky, is not the right term, of course, but injuries. Now, you can maybe come back at me and say that hasn't been the case, but you've been able to roll all those guys, you know, where others have maybe faced a little more adversity. Is depth something that you're always have your eye on?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think just touching on that and touching on injuries, you know, from last year, we have Tristan Fry and Levi Cable. Fry had an operation mid-season for us last year, and he never really played a lot last year, but I wanted to give him the opportunity to come back this year for us with that injury fully recovered and obviously have another go. And I think when I spoke with Tristan in the summertime, we were always going to have that 15th forward, kind of, I don't like to call it a spare forward, but yeah, he was always offered that position. And I think we did that. And also with Levi Cable, he was in the same predicament. Levi didn't really find out until the summertime that he needed an operation, so he didn't get his operation. And I think it was about mid August or early August when Caves, and we'd already signed him to come back, so he obviously had that operation as well. So that pushed us to sign another forward in the process there. But we've kind of have those two guys, and you know, we've got the two extra forwards at the minute. But with that, on that injury side, we wanted to give both these guys a chance to come back in this year with that. So we do have that little bit of depth there. But, you know, was it high risk? I don't believe it was, because obviously the injury, they came through the operation, they did all the rehab, and, you know, that's where we are now. So we do kind of have that 16 imports there with the tutor to obviously to bounce around. But yeah, it's certainly a factor that we looked at. But again, you know, we've been really lucky is in this season with the injuries so far.
Coaches don't necessarily like the single players out. I'll not ask you to single anybody out, but obviously really strong goaltender from Ian McAdam at the back. And then I suppose the guys, it's easy to be drawn just to statistics. And you've got likes of Ferguson, Tedesco, Ryan Tate, who personal favourite of mine, such a speedy player. You know, he's a guy that, is this being condescending? And I hope it's not. People are starting to look at the Guildford Flames and saying, those guys could be in any of the teams in this league.
No, I think, you know, it's kind of a difficult one to answer, because I think even if we go back to 4 or 5 years ago, we had very similar players to what we have this year. You know, our philosophy on how we put a team together hasn't changed. You know, we want mobile defensemen. We want a couple of skilled defensemen, obviously, as every team does. We want to be a fast team. We want to push the pace, and that's kind of our style of play. You know, we're not going to be a team that's going to sit back. We're going to be on the front foot. We're going to forecheck hard. And, you know, with that, that's the style of play that I tried to go after and tried to sign. But, you know, you go back to the Ali Akred, the Jesse Craig, the Cruz Reddick, the John Dunbar, and, you know, over the years we've kind of had 4 or 5 of those special kind of players, I would call them, the calibre players. And I think there's no difference this year. I think we've got a few more from the depth of that, as you've touched on with there. But we have Markland, the Swedish guy. We have Cronella, who I just think, again, it just adds up more depth than what we've had in previous years. But going back to, you know, on the back end, obviously from the British side, we've got O'Connor, who's a very gifted offensive defenseman. We know that from being in the league for a long time. I have Lalonde, who, again, you know, his numbers are good from the offensive side. But then I've got guys on that back end who are doing a really good job on how we want to play there. And you touched on it there. Tedesco, obviously, you know, I think very, very similar to Scott Conway in my eyes. Very, very similar. Both them kind of players, same numbers, you know, I think same style of play. And Ryan Tate, obviously, just he is. I think he's one of the fastest guys that I've ever seen. And he makes things happen with that speed. You know, you open up the ice, and I think you had a guy, was it Boucher last year? Very similar. Yeah. You know, again, Sheffield have Letal. Them guys are just on a different pace. You know, with all the respect to everybody else, they really are, and they can make things happen. But no, I think those guys have come in, and like I said, but they've bought in. They haven't been alone. They haven't been individually. They've bought into the team structure and how we play has suited their game, I feel.
Like everything kind of drips down eventually from the NHL, if you like. That league became faster and faster, and Steve Thornton's always one who says, you know, speed kills. You get that player who's just got wheels that are better than the other team, it gives you such a chance.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I mean, we're always trying to sign 14 forwards at that speed. go and try and find them. But no, it is. I think the game has, I mean, it's progressed a long way, and I think it is about speed now. And, you know, I think if you can put a team with speed together, I think it gives you that compete. And if you can compete, then you're going to be in games where, you know, the way that I look at it, if you're big and slow for whatever reason, and this is just my take on it, then, you know, a speedy team can get around the ice, they can create openings. And, you know, that's kind of where we've gone with our philosophy here. And again, no disrespect to other coaches who look at it differently. Everyone's got their own philosophy, and like you say, over the years the game has got faster, and for me it's all about speed,
and it's about taking the chances at home, the home away. But I was looking at your numbers, and I think it's like 26 out of 32 wins in the Elite League this season, so very, very strong in the spectrum, but you've been good on the road as well.
Yeah, it's difficult when you get into the cup finals, the cup semi-finals, and you say home or away first, and it's always a difficult one, because, you know, there's two ways that you do look at it. If you have your home one first, you get off to a good start, you can put a bit of a margin in there, and then, you know. But then on the other hand, if you have your home one second, you know what you've got to do when you get home and use that advantage. So I think it's kind of 50-50. Just against Coventry there, we had the home leg first. And to be fair, I mean, we put ourselves in that great position at 5-0 from that home leg to go up to Coventry, knowing just exactly what we had to do in that second leg. So there's an example of that, obviously, that situation happening, whether it be home or away first.
Let's take it on to tomorrow night's game. Obviously, lining up against our own Belfast Giants tomorrow night. And in terms of what you're expecting, you know, at the minute, it'll just be you park the Elite League for now. And are you just like, I know it's an old hockey cliche, it's just one game at a time. You're happy enough? Like, it's not a distraction. The Challenge Cup isn't a distraction. It's just another game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you set out at the beginning of the season, and there's three trophies up for grabs, and, you know, sometimes you have to be realistic in what you can achieve. And we've put ourselves in a really strong position after 3.5 months here, you know, to be in the mix with Belfast, with Sheffield, with Cardiff, and we're in a really good place. But again, we're a little under half a season still left to go, but realistically, we're in a semi-final of a cup, and we're two games away from a final. And I think we have to just look at that for what it is. But again, it's you do take every game as it comes. But there's always, you know, you go into tomorrow, and I'm sure there's a big emphasis on obviously who we're playing and what's at stake here. So, you know, we want to give a good account of ourselves, as Belfast want to get into the final themselves. But you know, yeah, absolutely, it is our focus switches for that first leg tomorrow, and we don't look really past that. I mean, we've got a big weekend, Saturday and Sunday again, and then obviously over to Belfast the following Wednesday. But it's just what it is. Literally right now, we focus today, we'll train today, and obviously get ready for this game tomorrow at home, and then get that game done, and then after that we'll move on obviously to the weekend.
And just sort of in coming in the land, coach, if you like, you've put yourselves in such a good position, say 3.5-4 months into the season, sit top of the league, cup semi-final, playoff position more or less secured in some form. You're certainly not going to drop outside the top eight, obviously. Is it about tempering expectations, or is it just big foot in the throat here and just go and try and win every game?
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's kind of, it's nice to be where we are at this point. It really is. But we've worked hard to be where we are as well. And like I said, everybody's bought in. But I think now, whereas maybe in previous years, we've got a good record. We've had good records this year against the teams. And we know in this league, if you want to win a trophy, you have to get past Belfast. You have to get past Sheffield. You have to get past Cardiff. And those have been the three big teams. And right now, as of this season, we've got a good record against those three teams. And, you know, I've been around this game long enough. That can change. That can change in a heartbeat. But right now, The team is confident. They're playing well. Like I said, they've bought into what we're doing. And, you know, you just never know. There's still a lot of hockey left. But, you know, we have to be focused on this game for tomorrow.
And you've had this thing, of course, of getting the final number years ago. I don't know how many years ago now. It seems everything before COVID seems such a long time ago. Obviously, the heartbreak of losing, I think it was an overtime, actually, Jordan Smaller and scored a goal down in Cardiff. So you've got that to feed off as well. You want to go that one step further.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It would be nice. You know, I thought on that game, it was a really, really even game. And it was, you know, when you get into those games, it's often one goal that decides it. And the goal that we actually give up from our side was a really weak goal. But, you know, goals are scored by mistakes. And it was heartbreak for us because we were there and, you know, we were 60 minutes away from winning a trophy and we didn't do that. And, you know, whether it be, it didn't matter who the opponent was. It just so happens to be this time. Obviously, we're playing Belfast, who we were in the final with that year. And now, obviously, if we want to progress to the final, we've got to have two games against Belfast.
Well, coach, like obviously tomorrow night, I can't wish you well, you know what I mean, but obviously we're really delighted to see how things are going for you down there in the Spectrum, and wish you well for the season, and thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
No, thank you as always. Like you say, you won't get that back from me neither, so I don't wish you well for tomorrow or the following Wednesday, but thanks for having me. Absolute pleasure. No, anytime.
Big thanks to Paul Dixon. Yeah, that game is on Wednesday, tomorrow. It's Flames against the Giants, 7:30 p.m., first leg of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. And then two games on the weekend, both away from home. Away to the Devils on Friday, 7:30, Ice Arena Wales. If you're not going or bringing your U.S. Marine friend, Davey, you can watch it on Devils TV. He's a Marine, wasn't he? Ex-Marine?
He was a former Marine, yes. Michael Dobrovolsky.
Great name. Strong name.
Back to another game. Strong name. And then we travel from Cardiff up to Nottingham to face the Panthers. I wonder who they'll put in that. for Saturday at 7 p.m. at the NIC. You get that with John O'Bullard on Panthers TV. Any other business, boys?
No, sir.
Nothing? No business? It's been a long one. It's been a long live one. Thanks to everybody for joining us live.
That was a great interview, Paul Dixon there, Davey, by the way. I think I don't want to overstate, but that could be interview of the season, mate. Well done.
Giving it away. big thanks to Gareth Martin, to Grant Cooper, and to Paul Dixon for their time and joining us. We really appreciate it. Big thanks to you, gents, Joel, for the news, and Davey, of course, for the video content. We really appreciate that. As I said, away to the Flames, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., away to the Devils, Friday, 7:30 p.m., and away to the Panthers, Saturday at 7 p.m. Get them on their respective webcasts. Of course, you can get us YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all your podcast providers, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, and all that sort of stuff. You also contact us, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, on Twitter @AVFTB, and on Facebook. Gentlemen, good to see you. Joel, well done, / commiserations in the County Antrim Shield.
Can't believe it. Three in a row.
I've just not checked the score. That's all it is. I've just not checked the score.
I'm either right this very second, upside down, or I'm back home eating a chippy. It's either one or the other.
One way or the other. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.